Welcome to Effortless Manifesting with Candace Cherie. Here you will learn to transform your life, heal your past, and become the person who has it all. Effortless Manifesting is your one-stop shop for all things manifesting. Stick around and join us for laughs, love, and new beginnings. Welcome to episode 5 of the Effortless Manifesting podcast. Episode 5.
When did that happen?
I don't know.
Have you been doing these behind my back?
Uh-huh.
Like I told you not to?
Without you.
This has to be really hard for you because we are sharing a mic and we're about 5 centimeters away from each other's face and I just had a super garlicky dinner.
Yeah.
How are you holding up, babe?
I'm not so great. No. I'm about to throw up.
What I meant to say was, how are you holding up?
Get away.
Okay. I'm done.
So,
just one more time.
Ew, okay. Gross.
Sorry, I love you.
I love you too. So recently, as you all know, it's almost Christmas and my husband is so cute and decorated the front of the house.
Oh, yeah.
And he did such a nice job.
I forgot about that.
I wish you guys could see it. I wish you had see a vision or television.
Did you just say see a vision?
Like smell a vision, you know?
Oh, my God.
Like you could just see. That would be if we recorded this with the video, which I need to. I bought a new friggin' webcam for this.
And isn't that like 55K? Like,
The webcam is so bad. It's so bad, I can't even use it. I was like, nah. It's the second one I've gone through, too.
This one is bad, too?
This little guy right here
Yes.
is terrible.
No.
I know. I need to
have a talk with it.
I need to return it. But anyway, I'll post a picture of the cute little decorations we have. And I have my dad's 35-year-old Christmas decorations. They're like an old plastic Santa and snowman. And they're so cute, and they make me so happy.
Surprised they haven't been stolen yet. They're like really legit vintage.
Yeah. Thankfully, we live in a safe neighborhood and people are pretty cool out here.
Yeah, they are very cool out here.
Yeah. Our neighbors are pretty sweet.
I had to like rig the light bulbs in them because they were this like, even the light bulbs were vintage. They were made out of actual flame. And so you have to, you know, like throw the coal in the actual bulb. Yeah, it was really, and it was like, it had this stuff all over it. It was so sticky. And so I had to, I didn't know what was going on. I almost set the house on fire trying to remove it, but it was fun.
It's pretty good.
Yes, it is.
Oh, thank you. Kiss me.
Kiss you again.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
So recently, I want to talk about something with y'all. I was recently on a podcast where I was the guest. I was not the host. And Mr. Brad Lee, if you don't know who he is, look him up. He's a big time entrepreneur, motivational businessman slash guru slash awesome dude. I'm sure I could put a couple more slashes in there.
You're talking about me again, aren't
Yes,
you?
I am. You're so cute. Thank I love you. And so I was on his podcast. He invited me on, which was something that I manifested. Thank you very much. I knew I was going to be on his podcast when I met him. I said, I'm going to be on his podcast. I have to be on it. And he invited me on like, I don't know, an hour after I think I said that to you in the green room when we were up there filming my new course.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited me, so I was on his podcast, and it was great. It was amazing, and you know, when you're filming a podcast, you're kind of in your own head, and you're almost out of body. And then after I listened to it, when he sent it to me, I was like, wow, this was a really great episode. I forgot all the things I said. I was able to re-listen to what Brad said and learned things from what he said, and it was just really such an amazing experience. And the funny thing is, he posted it on YouTube, and some of you know this story already, but somebody left a very mean comment about me, and
infidel.
Yeah. And he said something to the effect of, what did he say? If she can't manifest a little bit of weight loss, she can't help me manifest my dreams. And immediately I was like, what? Why does that matter? And I thought I was going to be really triggered by this initially, that I was going to be so frustrated that somebody would say that about me. But I almost kind of prepared myself before I filmed, because, you know, the way it's all, the cameras are set up, it's like not the best angle. And ladies, if you're with me here, you know that angles are everything. And so I was like, you know, I know this isn't going to look that great. It's not the best angle. It's a side angle. Nobody looks the best from the side unless you are Ariana Grande and you have a perfect jawline. But that's not me. So I was already preparing for it. And
a perfect everything. What are you talking about, crazy?
Thank you. I love you. So I knew that if something came up about that, I could handle it. So it did. It came up and I thought, wow, okay, how am I going to take this? And initially, my feelings were hurt for about 30 seconds. And then I thought, but wait, does this really matter to me anymore? Does it really matter what this stranger has to say? And it really didn't. And so I replied and told him, you know, I'm sorry that you feel that way and you're just looking at one aspect of a person, but, you know, it doesn't affect me and my business. So, you know, I'm sending you love, whatever. And then a bunch of people, wonderful people, came to my defense that I didn't even ask them to. And it was really sweet. And, you know, then he kept kind of going on and on. And at one point, I got to thinking about it and I thought, well, look at other successful business people who aren't supermodels. They're not everybody's, you know, Cindy Crawford. Y'all might not even know who that is, but a supermodel. And they're still successful. Like, look at Oprah. She got so much crap for her weight as she was coming up in the industry. And poor thing, like, I got one comment. I can't imagine how she felt getting commented on every single day by all these people saying she's not thin enough, she's never going to make it, and now she's a billionaire, the most positive person for her, you know, for her industry, and it doesn't matter what she looks like. She doesn't even really care. And, you know, normally this comment, specifically hearing that from him, would have really, really upset me. And, you know, I have dealt with weight issues my whole life. When I was 11 years old, I went anorexic for a while. My friends and family were always poking on my stomach when I was a little girl and telling me I was fat. And my mom would say things like, a moment on the lips, lifetime on the hips. And it really got to me. And I always thought I was overweight from then on. I was always on a diet. I was always trying to lose weight, even though I was like 115 pounds, a size zero. I still thought I needed to lose weight. And I used to eat my lunch in the bathroom. And I was so afraid to eat in front of boys. And that feeling really kind of didn't go away, even in my adult years. Like when I was single or I was dating, going on a dinner date was like the worst. I never wanted to do it because thinking that they would think I'm fat because I'm eating, you know, all these weird psychological things that I experienced. And so for me to read this comment and not break down was a big thing for me to say, wow, I've really come a long way with my self-concept and feeling okay with who I am. And when I was in the music industry, I still had men telling me, you'd be so much more beautiful if you lost 10 pounds. When honestly, looking back, my body was perfection. I had only had one child. I didn't have three. And so, you know, I just felt like hearing this was something I needed to hear. It did make me reevaluate where am I in this aspect of myself. And, you know, our self-concept is everything. How we ultimately feel about ourselves at the core is what we will see reflected. And thankfully, I have the world's best husband who thinks I'm beautiful, loves me no matter what, and accepts me for who I am. And, you know, I haven't always been in relationships like that. I haven't always felt beautiful in my relationships.
Well, those guys are dumb.
That's why I'm with you. Not
to
them.
My benefit.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, dudes.
And you know, a lot of that comes down to reprogramming trauma. Now, is there more that I could do on this topic for myself? Probably. And I probably will. And I think especially women, for the women listening to this, or any of you men who've struggled with body image, you know, more women than men probably, because we're a lot more taught to be beautiful and to look a certain way. But it's kind of something that most of us struggle with no matter what size we are, because we're always going to be hypercritical of every little flaw, every wrinkle, every freckle, everything. So I feel like, you know, your self-concept really is an evolving process, and to revise and reprogram and regroup and let yourself cry about it and say, okay, I'm done with that. I'm done feeling like this. I'm going to let this go and step into a new version of myself. And sometimes it sucks. And sometimes, you know, you feel good and then you're like, ugh, I don't feel so good right now. But that's okay, because we're all just experiencing things and trying to figure it out. So, you know, when you reprogram trauma specifically, I had someone ask me to talk more about reprogramming trauma. And when you're reprogramming it, it's going to take you practice. Revision takes practice. And I have videos about this in my free training academy. If you haven't joined that yet, I will leave a link for that here in the podcast. You can also get that on my website, effortlessmanifesting.com. Just scroll down a little bit and you'll see the link for that. But I do have a longer video dedicated just about reprogramming your trauma. But basically, what you want to do is you want to identify what are your root triggers. What is the root of your trigger, I guess? Where does that come from? And when you figure out what it is, say it's mom or dad, you want to go back in time. You want to go and see these old memories when you're under meditation. And I'll tell you an example of this in a minute. I'll let George tell you an example of how this worked for him. But when you see these old memories under meditation, it's important to do that because you want to be in your subconscious state. If you're in the conscious mind is very smart and it's going to say, that's not true. But when you're in the subconscious mind, it's just like programming. It's just doing what you tell it to do. So when you're in your hypnotic state, you're in subconscious, you want to see your old memory. You want to see what happened. Observe yourself as a third party. Be there for 30 seconds. And then go and take your little person out of the scenario and change the story. Go implant something new and beautiful, and change how you view your parent that was involved or whoever it is that you're revising. Now, revision takes practice, but changing the event is something that you need to do. And I offer this as a service one-on-one. Now, my reprogramming sessions are life-changing. I have yet to have someone say that didn't change their life who did a successful reprogramming with me.
I'm biting my nails. Like,
okay, not go ahead.
Able to talk about it. No. Like, I feel like you're so correct about
go
that.
Go ahead.
Well, no. I mean, are you sure you don't? I feel like I
know.
No.
Go ahead. No, you okay. Didn't. You go ahead.
Beautiful. I love you. So I must say the reason why I feel like I was so blown away by this is the type of person I am. I consider myself to be extremely, and Candace will attest to this, extremely resilient, resistant, and stubborn among like a lot of stuff. And I think the reason I'm saying that is to let you guys know that this isn't just something that works with people who are just extremely open or anything like that, because I tend to be, like I said, a very resilient and resistant person, and I don't really take to many new things. I don't like change. I freak out from change. Like, I freak out from crossing a 7-lane highway during rush hour. Like, that's the last thing I want to do. And so I'm just going to mention from my experience, one, and I mean this for me, one reprogramming session made something that I find extremely traumatic in my past change completely 180 degrees, and that was reprogramming my father and the relationship that I had with him. And the relationship I had with him growing up was extremely abusive. It was extremely toxic, he was very narcissistic, very self-centered kind of person. And being raised in that fashion where a lot of the discipline came from, you breathed wrong, go to your room, you did this wrong, you'll never, you know, like, and no matter what it is, it was something very subtle. It had nothing to do with me doing anything wrong necessarily, just everything was always a complaint. But if I did everything perfect, I just didn't hear anything. So there was really no, you know, growing up knowing that there was praise or reward for goodness or good behavior or good achievement. There was just punishment when you did something wrong, which was 90% of the time. And the other 10, I finally got things kind of right. So I just didn't hear from him. So when my amazing wife did this reprogramming on me, just bringing me to how specific, well, let me say this much. She brought me to such a specific setting and background, and the reprogramming was a very vivid type of thing, almost like I feel like I have lived it before. Mm. When you brought me to that, it felt like it was actually happening in that subconscious, mm-hmm. based on what you were doing with me. And it revised it in such a way where it created a memory I never had before. And because I think the reason why that was so successful is because I now have that memory to refer to. Mm-hmm. So when something happens in life and I think of my dad, or we have a bad relationship, or we get together or something and it's feeling, you know, whatever, I have that memory to revert back to, and I see him with empathy and love. And I've never had a close relationship with him in my entire life other than this past, I don't know, maybe a year?
Yeah.
About?
Mm-hmm.
And When they lived in California and I was living here in Arizona, I remember having to do these trips. And they were like 5-6 hour long trips. I dreaded them because I knew that I was going to be visiting them for like 3 days or something like that. And just going there, the trauma that was inspired, the way I had to act, the things I had to say, the approval I needed to get constantly from my old man was just, mm-hmm. it was endless. And I feel bad. Like, you had to have a trip with me on a 5.5 hour trip. And that was just like insane because it was just pure trauma second after second.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, it's only a 1/2 hour trip or maybe even 20 minutes. But like, I look forward to it. I look forward to going to see him and giving him a hug and saying, Dad, I really love you. Because it's, I realized then after that reprogramming was, yeah, he really did the best he could.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say that before, and I just thought it was kind of BS because mm-hmm. I was trying to get by. But because of your reprogramming that you did on me, it came true. I was like, oh my God, he really did do his best, given that his dad died at 5 and he was raised with a bunch of physically abusive mental cases all his life in the Middle East. Like, that's, it was bad. And if you're of the Middle Eastern culture, you'd probably understand
mm-hmm.
if you're first or second gen. So, you know, that being said, it was life changing until today. One reprogramming for what, a year now,
mm-hmm.
I see my dad in a light. I kid you not, people. This is coming from a very resilient, resistant, and stubborn dude. I see my dad with nothing but love and light. And I have that to look back to each and every single time I go to visit. And I have you to thank for that, honey. Seriously, you changed my life. Aww. Because that was the biggest thorn in my side in my entire life, was my relationship with my dad. So, the end.
Well, thank you for sharing that mm-hmm. and trusting me to do that. Because it, you know, it does take trust to tell somebody your story and to allow them inside your mind to work on things and to heal things. And so I appreciate you trusting me to do that. And
well, I appreciate the crap out of you.
Love you. And that's really what it's about, is being able to go and change the story. And so that's what I do for people one-on-one. If you want to work one-on-one with me, you can do that on my website, effortlessmanifesting.com. And one session is generally amazing. It doesn't mean it's going to fix all the things going on within you, but because most of us have more than one person in our life that have affected us. So I recommend 4 to 6 sessions to really dive deep into all of the things that you've struggled in. But one session, everyone is like freaking out and blown away. And I obviously have hundreds of testimonials that you can read from real people that share their story on my Facebook groups and stuff. So, but you know, when you do successfully revise your story, your whole outlook on life changes, because you're no longer carrying around this old self-concept that said, I was abused, I was miserable, I was this, or I am this. It's now, no, I love my parent. And, you know, like George said, that he was able to now love his dad. And it's so beautiful to see how he can be around his dad and not want to run away the second he's there. And I just remember how terrible it was for him before. And so, you know, this is an opportunity that you have to change your life by going in and changing the story. Just because it was something doesn't mean it has to remain that way for the rest of your life. So somebody asked a question in the Facebook group, and they would like to know, what do you do if the 3D shows the exact opposite of your desire? So if you're manifesting, let's say, a person, and then all of a sudden you're getting terrible text messages from them, or all these terrible things happen, and you're saying, what the heck, I'm manifesting, why isn't it working for me? Well, you have to remember, a lot of your story has already been planted. And every time you have an assumption that is created within you based on your fears, based on your beliefs, you have these little seeds that plant. And then they can harvest at different times in your life. And you'll see these old assumptions pop up. But that's all that they are. They're old assumptions. They're old zombies, I call them. And you know, you don't want to hang out with a zombie. Zombies are not sexy. So don't hang out with that zombie and act like it's real. I know, it's funny. Sexy zombie. They're not sexy unless you're Nicholas Holt, but we're not talking about that version. We're not talking about Nicholas Holt version of zombies. But like the disgusting zombies, the Walking Dead ones, those are not sexy. You don't want to hang out with those.
I think they are.
Well, you can go get one of those girlfriends.
No.
No, you like me instead?
I like you.
Okay, thanks.
I don't like zombie canned.
Okay. Zombie canned. So, you know, you just have to look at it and say, this is a dead old story. This is a shadow. If you're walking down the street and you see your shadow behind you, are you going to shoot it with a gun and say, what are you doing? Why are you walking behind me? No, you're going to say, that's just my shadow. It doesn't mean anything. That's what your 3D reality is. Your 3D reality is the past. Your current reality is your past, what you've once imagined. So if you want to change your future, you have to imagine something different and allow for your present to catch up with your future imaginative act. So I always say your future is your present and your present is your past. It catches up with itself. So you don't like something, you have to imagine a different version of yourself. You have to imagine a different version of your specific person, of your boss, of your parent, of whoever in your life that's triggering you. You have to imagine a different version of them and be consistent in that imaginative act until it hardens into fact. And it will harden into fact if you are consistent. But if every other day you're like, I'm great, no, I suck. I'm great, no, I suck. Then your higher self doesn't know what the heck to give you. They're going to give you your dominant state. And if your dominant state is crap and you're hating yourself, that's what you're going to see. George has his hand up. He has a question or a statement.
Well, it's not really a question.
I was wondering if I had like authorization to.
Of course.
Okay. What I did before is I kind of felt like where I stumbled doing this is, and the days I did feel good, that's when those were the days where I kind of got a little bit more lax and a little bit lazier about doing so. And so I just kind of wanted to even throw it out there and remind everybody that it's in those moments specifically as well, you should be doubling up on those to continue that momentum. Because once you just kind of relax in it, that momentum sort of starts going backwards and it starts to kind of fall on itself a little bit. And so I just kind of feel like from my experience sharing that, if you tend to be, you know, like, hey, I'm at my weight goal or something like that, now I'm just going to stop doing the things that it took for me to stay at this weight. Well, then guess what? I mean, you're kind of going to gain some of that back. So I guess just as a caution, that's something that I noticed I stumbled upon. And to prevent other people from, you know, making that same mistake, it's in those moments I encourage you guys to keep that drive going by celebrating it and fuel it, feed it, so it continues to go in that direction. And that's how, you know, you keep that momentum up, I guess.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good point. And it is true, because I notice if I'm missing out on my routine in the morning, it throws off my whole day. And my routine is like sacred to me. I have to wake up at 5 or 4:30, get up, get dressed, do my makeup, do all that stuff, and go on my walk, talk to my friends, write in my journal, make my videos for TikTok, which if you're not following me on TikTok, you should. And it's part of my life now. And if I'm not doing it, I notice it throws off my day. And then I'm feeling like, why do I feel so stressed? Oh, well, You didn't take time for yourself this morning. Instead, you're just reacting in reaction mode because your kids are all over the place and you're trying to take care of them. And then you forgot you didn't make your videos. And, you know, so I'm playing catch up. So if you don't have a healthy morning routine, you need to get on that. Now, in my ebook, 30 Days to Master Self-Love, it has a beautiful routine for you. It walks you through day by day by day, step by step, of exactly what to do to master your self-concept so that you can be empowered and embody the state of the person who has it all, who's madly in love with themselves, where nothing matters but you. Because when you aren't your number one priority, do you think a specific person that you want is going to make you a priority? No, they're not. They're not going to love you the way you need to be loved if you're not loving you the way that you need to be loved. And that's even true after you get your person back. When I'm not in my like highest feminine state, George isn't as attracted to me. And that's nothing wrong with that. It's just, it's meaning like he's not as affectionate naturally. He's not as like lovey-dovey on me because he's not feeling my feminine essence that is attracting him to me. Doesn't mean he's not attracted to me, but he's just not as naturally drawn to me as if when I'm feeling good and happy about myself, he doesn't even know what he's doing with himself. He's just like, come here, I need you. And that's just how attraction works. It's the same when he's in his masculine state and he's taking care of himself. I'm way more attracted in those moments and I want to be closer and more near to him.
Those are really special essence. Those are herbal essence. Beautiful. They smell lovely.
Herbal essence. Oh my gosh. I remember the smell of that stuff.
So fake and bad for you.
I know. So anyway, Thank you guys for being here. This is a little bit longer episode, but I really hope you learned something and that you took from what we're saying that, you know, you need to take your self-concept seriously and you need to love yourself the way that you want to be loved, because you cannot outsource your love. If you're looking for it all the time from someone else, you're going to be looking forever. So
before we go.
Yes.
Do you have anything else to say?
I guess not.
Oh, okay. In that case, I have one more thing to say.
Go ahead. Don't tickle me. Okay. You just made me scream in the microphone. Sorry guys.
I had to. Your arm was right there. Your armpit was begging for it.
I know. It was.
Okay, I'm done.
All right, you guys. You can follow me on everywhere that you can imagine. Facebook, Effortless Manifesting. My VIP group where you get one-on-one videos with me. So much content. 56 hours of content. An amazing group of people who are leveling up. And you can join my free training academy. You can get my Manifest a Specific Person course, my ebook, my meditations. My new specific person meditation is the bomb. It's probably my newest, most popular meditation that everyone is saying is their favorite. So you got to get that too. EffortlessManifesting.com. Until next time, have the best day
of your life.
Yes.
Bye. Love you all.
Bye.